This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. With Hillary Clinton in Africa, in the middle of a seven-nation Africa tour, she's very much competing with the Chinese and the Russians on economic trade deals and other matters. It occurs to us to talk with Thomas Pakenham, who's the author of The Scramble for Africa, The White Man's Conquest of the Dark Continent from 1876 to 1912. It was published in 1992. Was an amazing account of really an amazing story of the 19th and 20th century. And that was how the great powers divided up Africa. The question this morning for Thomas Pakenham, who joins us now from Ireland on the phone, is there a new scramble for Africa taking place? What do you think?
Yes, I think you could call it that. It's a scramble for resources, and that's rather straightforward, whereas before it was a scramble for lots of things, prestige, strategic objectives, resources, and so on. But, I mean, crudely, it was a struggle for gold and diamonds in the 1870s and 1880s, and now it's a struggle for oil. I mean, that's the main bait for which China, Russia, and all of us have such a thirsty appetite, don't we?
With a very different cast of characters, though. Back then it was Victorian England and Germany and the European powers. Now it's China, Russia, and really leading the pack, China with the United States.
Yes. It's certainly not as exciting because we don't have these larger-than-life characters we had before. I mean, think of Cecil Rhodes portrayed in the famous Punch cartoon as the Colossus of Rhodes. That's a pun, you see, because of
fortunately, we also don't have King Leopold of Belgium, who is responsible for cutting off people's limbs.
But, I mean, dirty deeds were not only perpetrated in the 19th century. I mean, obviously, there's a great deal of hardship still in the way gold and metal gets hammered out of the ground, doesn't it? Mines and Chinese mines. I wouldn't like to work for a Chinese factory in Africa.
And, you know, one of the things that has complicated Hillary Clinton's efforts to get humanitarian issues on the table in places like Angola, which, of course, now is the largest producer of oil in Africa, is the fact
Has it beaten Nigeria? Sort of neck and neck.
No, it's actually beaten Nigeria, and much of that is due to instability in Nigeria. But nevertheless, the Chinese are willing to make deals without talking about any of these sorts of issues.
Yes. I mean, the irony is the powers were, of course, criticized in the 19th century for their appalling methods and intervention.
And you're getting a call there from Angola right now.
Yes,
indeed.
I've turned it off. but the powers were criticized. And now China's criticized for not having any political views and just saying this is business only. We leave it to the governments, whether they're repressive or not, to look after their citizens the way they want.
Well, I guess the question there is, have we learned anything from the 19th century? And the suspicion is maybe not enough.
Maybe not enough. And I think we're going to see a lot of fingers will be burnt, of course. The Chinese have already made some fairly disastrous investments in Africa. And the fact they're at the moment have got most money in their wallets, and so they're paying the big prices oil concessions.
We'll see how that comes out. Having the biggest pocketbook doesn't necessarily give you an advantage. Thomas Pakenham, author of The Scramble for Africa, White Man's Conquest of the Dark Continent from 1876 to 1912, talking about the current scramble for Africa.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.